This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Before you and me, he keeps civil peace. You see, he gives me a heart of very high design. Oh, we need release. If you need a bed or a meal, there's a place with great appeal. The price is right, yours for a steal. You get a good deal in the Who's Gal. Some would say that love is a crime. Time's a thief and justice is blind. Keep your faith, I'll keep mine, and everything's fine when Danny is mine. Everything's fine when Danny is mine. Everything's fine when Danny is mine. Time in the Who's Gal.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello? Oh, God. My throat's still not back. Yeah. Hello, Houston. Galvez in the world.
Hi. What have you been sticking in your throat this week?
Well, it sure as hell wasn't mouse, bitch.
Am I even on the air?
Oh, shoot.
Thank you.
I forgot it's two buttons there.
Yes, two buttons. I'm back from Hawaii. You can turn on both mics now. Thank you. And you are?
I mean, yeah, I should have the microphone on. I mean, my God, he's in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Here, oh, good. We've got the countdown clock for how long Jimmy's in the studio. We need for you to pledge your support. Spend 50 cents for every minute Jimmy spends in the studio, and we'll be able to buy a new air conditioner. I got to work on that. That'll be the protest signs. Air conditioning, not cameras.
Yes.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm your gay, gray Uncle Jimmy Carper. I'm the other co-executive.
Uncle.
Okay, I'm the grandfather, but you know what?
As you remember from, as I've said many times here,
yes,
you're old enough to be my daddy. Because you're the same age as my daddy.
But I have better taste.
As now we show a picture of Stanley around and let everyone vote.
Stanley has something, a lot of somethings that you don't.
Gold car, yeah. Yeah, the folds in the back of his pants is not cellulite, it's money.
Yes, it is. Lots of it.
One of these days we're gonna do a compilation CD of all the Stanleyisms that we do.
And send it to him.
Yeah.
Because he never listens.
Do I need to put it on cassette or 8-track for him?
Reel to reel.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can go find an Edison machine.
There you go.
An old Edison phonograph.
Yeah, 78. Try that.
One for every year? Oh.
No, Stanley turns 81 at the end of this month. And he's in better shape than I am.
That ain't that hard.
Hey. Yeah, that's the problem.
That it ain't that hard?
Yeah.
Apparently, the Lazarus can't raise all of the dead, huh?
No.
Anyway, some things going on in the community. Some things because my computer crashed middle of the week, and Bruce won't be back until Monday to fix it.
Brazilian porn.
Yeah, I know. That must have been what crashed it.
Downloading all the porn viruses.
I've been downloading porn ever since I've had a computer, so, you know, yeah, it's only too. Crashed twice, so I can't bitch about it. Anyway, later on this morning at 10 a.m., if you'd like to have breakfast with that Bloody Mary, you can head on over to Mary's, naturally, because the Sundance Kettle Company is now serving breakfast at Mary's on Sundays from 10 until noon. This Sunday, probably not next Sunday. So come join them for food and fun. We're going to be talking about next Sunday soon enough.
Sunday.
And
good, because I may not be here for it.
Are you ready for some football?
No.
Well, that was my answer.
I'm sorry. To the lesbians out here, we now offer programming for you.
Hardly, because this is from the Houston Area Bears, presents Bear Beer Bust. Super Bowl Sunday over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. That is from 3 to 7 p.m. on the patio. They're going to have drink specials, and they're going to be doing testing out there as well. I take it will be HIV and STD testing and not pregnancy testing.
Hey, the fun is in the trying.
I guess.
They said it was a urine test.
They just asked me to pee on the stick. I didn't know that.
Okay. That sounds more like a Ripcord thing, not a Tony's Corner.
I know.
Get out the waiters.
Oh, boy. Let's see, some things going on at the Montrose Counseling Center. Lesbian, bisexual, transgender breast cancer support group. It's not easy, especially when you can't always be open and honest about the impact of the diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical changes that have on your life, including your relationships. That's why this group is important. You should not have to censor your life and your relationship in a group setting. This confidential and affirming support group is open to lesbians, bisexual women, and transgender persons who are dealing with the consequences of breast cancer. It begins Wednesday mornings, beginning February the 6th, from 9:30 to 11 a.m. at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Bernard Street, room 236. An intake is required to join the program. If you're not already a client of MCC, please call 713-529-0037 to schedule an intake. Also at the Montrose Counseling Center, HIV positive support group. Whether you're newly diagnosed, a longtime survivor, or somewhere in between, this confidential and affirming support group is available for those who would like to find support in a group environment. This support group is open to anyone who is HIV positive. It happens Thursday evenings, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Bernard Street, room 253. Also, an intake is required, and that number again, 713-529-0037. And a new opportunity for recovery. Be sober, be clean, be proud, be free. The Counseling Center announces a third intensive outpatient treatment program specializing in substance abuse treatment for persons living with HIV. This is happening Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoons, 2 to 4 p.m. And current programs will continue to meet when they do meet. The Montrose Counseling Center at 401 Bernard, and yes, you have to have that intake. Now, something a little bit lighter. The Imperial Court of Houston presents Battle of the Sexes 2008. The all-boys show happens February the 15th, Friday, February the 15th at 8 p.m. This is happening over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, both shows. The Boys Show, February 18th, and it's hosted by Chris Kettner and Jimmy Carper, the youngest and the oldest of the male line members, I believe. And the All-Girls Show is Saturday, February the 16th at 8 p.m., hosted by Ginger and Carrie. So, that'll be fun coming up. What? What?
I remember seeing some of the ads where you had a picture of you on here.
There is a picture of me on there.
And they still allowed it to be produced? Jeez.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Anyway, calling all queens! Come compete in the first annual Miss Perfect Drag competition, benefiting SNAP's Animal Aid Program. That's helping HIV positive people care for their furry friends. That's Saturday, February the 23rd at 7 o'clock at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. No contestant entry fee. Everyone is welcome, and it's all for charity. All interested performers, contact Paul Hidalgo at 713-703-1131. You're on, Mavis.
Mavis?
My favorite female name.
Okay. I'm going to start typing here for you now. And if you get that reference, it's my age showing in with that one, Mavis Bacon.
Yeah.
The Lesbian Health Initiative, LHI.
Yes.
Of Houston cordially invites you to attend an evening of lavish with food, music, and entertainment from acclaimed comedian Karen Williams. It will be at the Renaissance Hotel Greenway Plaza. Tickets are $75. For more information, go to lhihouston.org/events. Lesbian Health Initiative is celebrating 16 years of service to the community, and it is a 501c3. Houston Pride Band to celebrate relationships with a chance to win a cruise for two. The Houston Pride Band will be at Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church on February the 9th at 7 p.m.
Good luck.
Good luck.
It's in the middle of Louis.
Well, you know, it may be different kind of crowds that go to Louis and go to a performance of the Houston Pride Band.
I do both. But not this year.
Hey, but, you know, it's kind of appropriate, because we always say about the Pride Band, if you can beat it or blow it or bang it, you belong in a band.
Yes.
Perfect theme for Louie. It's $10, we'll admit one. Ticket proceeds are benefiting PFLAG Houston. What part about PFLAG?
Yeah.
Just benefiting PFLAG.
Yeah.
There'll be a silent auction during the concert.
Mm.
Find that special something for someone. The silent auction benefits the Pride Band. And what about the
Resurrection MCC, 2025 West 11th Street?
Ooh, he's good. He remembered something.
I was with the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard for 15 years. Give me a
break.
Yeah,
but you left that before they moved.
That's true, actually.
Ha! There. NBC's Clash of the Choirs make Houston show announcement. All-star cast set to perform for charity. The nationally televised reality show NBC's Clash of the Choirs will perform one night in Houston. The famous Team Roland will perform for one night only on February 7th at Houston's trendy Guava Lamp. All proceeds will benefit the Bread of Life, Inc. It was picked personally by a former Destiny's Child member and Houstonian Kelly Roland. The event will start at 8 p.m. with an exclusive performance by Team Roland themselves. For more information, you can go to guavalamphouston.com or nbc.com/clash of the choirs and put underscores between those events. Are you going in there to talk?
What, Mary?
Are you going in there to do the next part?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're ready for that part.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. You only gave me three things to read.
Oh.
One, two, three.
And
three.
He can count. You were such a fast reader.
Didn't know you could count to three.
Well, I don't read the whole thing. I just skim over and give you the highlights. You should try highlights once in a while.
Right. I used to read that in the doctor's office when I was a kid.
To think I drive 30 minutes for this.
Okay, guys. Who have we got here?
We've got Colt 45s.
Ta-da!
Actually, we've got the whole board here tonight.
Oh.
So, I'm Corwin, president of Colt 45s. We've got Steven, the vice president of Colt 45s. We've got Dan, the treasurer of the Colt 45s. And we've got Terry, the secretary of the Colt 45s.
And she's in the lobby.
Yeah.
She's listening.
She's here.
She will not come in here because she's afraid I'll make her talk.
But yeah, she's right by the camera, on the radio.
So it all defeats the purpose.
She's keeping Roy away from her cookies. Good luck to Terry.
It's the first time anybody stayed away from... Anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody's cookies.
No.
You know, we have a silent partner in the back sitting here.
Too. We certainly do.
For those of you who
and
don't...
And it's so unusual.
I know.
You normally can't shut her up.
I know.
That's her heart.
My point. Exactly.
Now you're going to wake the sleeping beast?
Yeah, possibly.
Say hello to Bubbles. If you know her, you love her. You can't live without her.
Mr. John Dye is in the background.
Hello.
So, tell me about what's going on.
What's going on? Steven, do you have a list of things going on or just about the Colts?
Well,
or?
I have a manifesto here that I'd like to read.
Okay.
No, actually, I don't. These are just my notes from last meeting and I woke up. What do I have going on? Well, you know, we won't talk about what's going on this week because, you know, that'll spoil it.
I guess you could
this
probably...
This week's all
you could probably
about...
Skip, you could probably skip...
But before I forget...
Skip January.
But before I get, you know, we always thank Jimmy and KPFT and Chris...
You too.
...and the other people for allowing the Colt 45 Fries to come out here.
Yes.
KPFT radio that listens to you. Cool. And don't forget, if you missed this telecast, well, I guess I won't remind you because if you've missed it, you're obviously listening.
Yeah, you've already
but
missed it.
But you can
it.
Always go the next morning to www.kpfc.org
right.
and follow the links, and you can get the whole archive of all the shows that Jimmy wasn't at, as well as some of the ones he was at.
I've been afraid to go back, go there myself and listen while I was away. Ooh.
And I'll just
hey, the first week you were gone, it should have been safe. I didn't have a voice.
Yes, but you had the ability to play music.
Yeah, but I couldn't get the one song to play.
I heard it.
Oh!
It was... Anyway.
The one aimed at Hatch.
Speaking of music, we didn't even talk about music. We will in a minute.
Talk about pop music.
Yeah.
We have Tommy Allen has a show on March 2nd. If that date sounds familiar, that's because it's the same date as the Tent Revival show.
Ooh.
But his... Playboy Bunny's Reject Show is at the BRB the Sunday, March 2nd.
But that will be it. That'll be at night, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And
starting around 7:30.
You know, I think that's all I'm going to say about that. As well as the Colt 45s are lucky enough to be beneficiaries. One of the
you
beneficiaries.
Couldn't say anything you couldn't say anything more. There's nothing else written.
Well, I know. But, well, I'm feeling.
We know a few things.
Oh,
we don't write things down that way in case something happens.
Nobody can blame us.
Yeah. Bunnies on the Bayou, 29, on March the 23rd.
Yes.
We are lucky enough, Bunnies on the Bayou has made the Colt 45's AIDS Trouble Fund one of their beneficiaries. As well as, if you will talk about that
that's
real quick,
nice.
Corwin,
that's
speaking
nice.
Of beneficiaries and Mr. Dye, it was great to be one of the beneficiaries from Crew Ball and to be backstage, seeing some of the, how do you say that, some of the inner workings of how they do it, and
yes.
We may never be the same again.
I bet it was scary.
Yes. Seeing what they look like before, during, and changing is not a fun thing. Actually, it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. Yeah. We had a lot of fun with them, and they were all really helpful, and we were helping them, and they were helping teaching us of what all it takes backstage to do it. And that's a lot of work backstage those people go through. Those people do a lot of work for that show. And they start working on it probably right now for next year's show already. They're working on their ideas and their floats and everything they're going to do.
yeah, it's just amazing to me that the work and the detail and the lights and glitter and feathers,
oh, yeah,
all for 2 minutes.
And that's just those.
And the Reliant Center we were at, the, which one was it? We were at the Reliant Arena.
Yeah.
And the people there were real nice. They were very helpful, and they did a wonderful job, too, as well. They did really good.
Well, for somebody who was going there for the first time, the signage was incredible. It was so easy to find.
Yeah. That was all done by Reliant. Yeah. Reliant did very good on that. So that they were very helpful. That, by what I understand, we'll be doing it there next year again, they're saying.
Good, so. Good.
It'll be a lot of fun, and next year we're planning on helping them out again if they'll
good,
have us.
Good. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can put a little, maybe a foot between tables.
Well, then you can't fit as many tables in, but
mean,
yes.
It's a cavernous place, and everybody was kind of jammed together, as always.
They want to make sure everybody had a good seat, yeah, and could see the stage well.
We started with them Friday night. We fixed a dinner and brought it in so they could stay there and rehearse and get things ready and not have to go out
nice,
and eat and all. So,
nice.
John's mom's secret recipe. What was one of his mom's secret recipe dinners?
Oh.
Yep. And it was good. Everybody loved it.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, we brought a bunch of water in so that everybody could have good ice cold water in the back for those costumes get really hot in those things.
They
come off stage, they're dying of heat.
Yeah.
So they were very grateful for all the work and everything we've done. And like I said, we did it because we wanted to do it. We enjoyed doing it.
And it went off relatively without a hitch.
Yes, it did. It went off. I didn't see any floats fall apart.
No. All the lights stayed on.
All the lights stayed on. Everything worked.
Only a couple of feathers fell off.
Yeah.
But, that happens all the time.
Well, keep that secret. There was that squid float. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that was a little bizarre.
We'll talk about that
later.
Yeah,
later.
Trade secrets.
Okay.
I don't think they've totaled things up quite yet, but they're somewhere over $15,000 that they raised on it. So.
Ooh, nice.
All right.
Very good. Very good.
They did a great job.
They do.
Yeah, and it's not just once a year. They have so many. I never realized they had so many other events other than just crew ball.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. They have a lot of other events.
They do. In fact, one of them they hold next door to the KPFT studios at the Alliance Francaise, right next door.
Ah. Yep. Been there, did that one with them. Ali. That was a lot of fun.
The Ali Oxen Free next door?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Okay.
That's the one. Okay, are we ready for some Louie?
Yeah, Louis. We're ready for Louie.
What is Louie?
Ready as we're going to get.
Louie is
Herod the dog. For
Let us entertain you.
You're right, it is Herod the dog.
It's Herod the dog for Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
I think Houston decided a long time ago we couldn't compete with New Orleans, so we'd have our party the weekend after and catch everybody on the way home after they party through Tuesday night, and then Wednesday or Thursday, they're kind of recovering in New Orleans, and then we're looking to catch them on the way back to have a little hair of the dog party here before they make it back home.
If you didn't get enough booze, if you didn't get late enough, if you didn't stay out late enough, or whatever it is, if you didn't have enough partying.
Got a lot of all the same stuff here this coming weekend.
That's not my theory. My theory is the same thing with the Teamster thing. It's easier to push something downhill than it is to push it uphill. So I think this is just kind of,
letting them slide downhill from there, yes.
Is that it?
Actually, what I've heard, though, with the original story was that there was a group of gentlemen that came down after Mardi Gras to Houston as a layover. And people around here were so nice to them, they took them around to all the bars and showed them all the entertainment around town and everything. And they ended up staying the whole weekend long, and the following year they came back and brought a whole bunch of friends.
Oh.
And because they thought it was so wonderful, and from there on it just became a tradition after the weekend after Mardi Gras in New Orleans. And we've been going, this is their 35th year that they've been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hoping this is going to be a really big year for them, and it looks like it will be. We've got all the Houston clubs and organizations around here all helping out, chipping in, and it's going to be a lot of fun starting Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Even After Hours is going to have a reception.
Yes, at Mary's.
Is that where Chris is?
Naturally.
Yes, at Mary's, naturally.
When?
Yes. Saturday night.
Friday night.
Friday?
Friday night.
Yeah. Friday night.
Friday night? Oh, right. Oh,
what,
I think
what time? Do you know?
How the hell should I know? I'm the only one who's agreed to do the damn thing.
Well, that's why we figured you would know.
First family, for the and then somebody else, and then
we're
somebody
third.
Else.
They're third, so they'd be...
Are you third?
Hold on.
I thought you were four.
I don't know. I got to show up anyway to do registration. So.
Yeah, you do.
Why
yeah.
don't we do this? We'll go to the official website, LouieWeekend.com.
LouieWeekend.com. Check
insert
it out.
Order now.
LueyWeekend.com.
Is the Colts are going to be helping out with registration on Friday night and on Saturday night. Or Saturday.
We'll be there.
Thursday and Friday? Or?
Oh, no, Thursday and Friday. No, you're
Saturday
right.
night won't be registered.
Thursday and Friday, and Saturday night we'll be doing our reception.
Yes, reception.
At the BRB at 7:30.
Okay, here's what it is. We're at 9:30.
9:30.
Yes.
In the back 40.
Yes. On Thursday, it's at EJ's from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. GCAM, ICOH, the Bears, and the Boys will be having receptions.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Friday at Mary's, naturally, from 7 to 11. First Family of Houston, Sundance Cattle Company, After Hours, Lone Star Rubber Corps, and PWA Holiday Charities.
Yay. What an odd mixture of folks.
Yes, it is.
We're nothing if not variety.
Yes.
On Saturday at the 611, breakfast is by the people at the 611.
Uh-huh.
Great breakfast. So I had it last year. They were
it was good.
Very good. Receptions by the Nomads, Leather Tourists, and HPEP. Saturday afternoon at the Ribcord starting at 1. Lunch provided by the Auxiliary Clubs.
And the Ribcord.
And receptions by NLA Houston, Misfits Houston, Lone Star Nudist Group, and Houston Big Men's Club.
Mm. Lone Star Nudist Group. Ooh. Hey, they're a new club, by the way. You know, they have pins this year.
I want one.
I just want to know where they're pinning them.
We're
a
not a
group.
New club, however, because they've been around for over 20 years.
Oh, no, they're a new, I'm sorry,
they're
a new member
new
club.
To have new pins.
A new auxiliary
member
club.
Yes.
New auxiliary club.
Ask to see their colors.
They will be pinning your shoes.
Well, yes.
Saturday night it will be at the Brazos River Bottom, starting at 7 p.m., dinner provided by HCC, receptions by the Colt 45, E-Resis, Southern Country Houston, and the Wretches will be hosting the First Lady's Tea and the Tiffle Tea Hat Competition.
Hmm. These hats
Who's
are something...
Who's going to be doing that?
The Wretches.
The Wretches.
No kidding.
Yeah, we do it every year.
It's
always
been
under the Wretches.
There was an email that went out, and I wanted to point out that there was somebody other than number one that was pushing for a particular cocktail, since this is 35 and some of our members are older.
Yes.
Pushing for vodka and Ensure.
Oh!
But, you know, they just weren't going for it, because I figured you need your alcohol and your vitamins.
These hats are something to see.
They
spend a lot of time, a lot of work, and a lot of creativity.
And they usually try to represent each of the clubs in their hats, so that can really be wild.
Sometimes it's difficult getting through the doorway.
Yes.
We've got to beat Austin this year.
I think the HBMC hat's at 4.5 foot tall right now.
Oh, good grief. Oh, my goodness.
The other problem is we still have to talk to the person who's supposed to be wearing it.
Yeah.
The Texas First Ladies, what it is the traditionally it would be the partner of the president of the club.
Yes. Yep.
And the way with our club is it has to roll downhill in the order of succession. So the secretary is still trying to talk. No, I'm the interim president. So, and I don't have a partner, so it moves down to the partner of the secretary.
You got a whole week.
Find someone.
Oh, sorry.
I don't have any money anymore. And the big part about it is on Sunday. The show of shows.
Yes.
Wonderful shows.
Doors open at 12. The show starts at 1.
That's at Rich's.
And I'll be over at Rich's. And then after that comes the unofficial after party at Mary's,
mm-hmm.
naturally. With the out-of-town clubs getting to have their turn.
But for their cocktails.
They don't have the schedule of who all is going in what order for the...
for the show?
For the show of shows. If you live in a zip code that starts with 77, it's $15 to get into Louie. If it doesn't start with 77, it's free.
Yeah.
And we anticipate probably at least 1,000 people registering for this event.
Yeah. Yes.
This is a huge event for Houston.
It is. It is. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Me too, because we have the first family cocktail, reception this year, and we have a special reception.
What's with the reception?
Just saying that.
Can we talk about that?
Well, no, we can't.
Okay.
We can't.
They won't let us.
TABC won't let us talk about it.
Oh. Yeah. we're having cock reception.
We can't even say that. But we have a recipe for a reception, which is one of everything, and we call it Happy Family.
Yes, considering that Stephen over here is the daddy of Montrose this year, so he is the daddy of the first family.
And
since they allowed daddy to make the plans for this, I decided, I'm always under the theory, you come up with a name first and you kind of invent the cocktail to go along with it.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Our cocktail, our reception we have planned.
Which one?
For the radio show?
Yes.
Is it going to be pink?
That's the only requirement I know is we have to have one that's virgin.
The virgin one has to be pink.
And one that's pink. And all we have is the slut portion. We don't have any idea of what's going to be in the rest of it. All we've taken care of so far is the non-virgin parts.
We could have the pink and the blue and get the stick, and then we won't find it. If it changes color.
Mm. When you pee on it.
We're back to peeing on it again. I know, we digress.
Yes.
At the rate we're going to be serving a yellow drink.
Yeah. That's about it.
Okay.
With a big blue plus sign on it.
Bring in the Huskies.
There you go. There you go.
I'm turning my mic off so I can conserve my voice.
For what?
I don't know.
It couldn't be any better than this.
And it's a shame that there cannot be a remote from Louis. That would, if
y'all did a remote show, that would be a lot of fun.
Right in vote to KPFT. I think it's been, 17 years since the last remote at Pacific Street, and there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do a remote from Louis.
Why not?
You wouldn't understand a word I'd say.
We'll listen to you anyway. We've got pictures.
Yeah, but that would actually mean that Jimmy would stay near the microphones.
Yes.
Everything he sees there is going to look like a microphone to him.
Absolutely, and I'm going to get up close and personal to each and every one.
Yeah, but could you imagine us setting up a remote studio at the back patio of the Ripcord on any given time of our show? We can set up right next to the St. George's Cross, I guess.
I was going to say right over there in the beer bar.
That
beer bar in the back, just kind of use that as a remote studio.
You can always.
Or if you did it at Mary's, you could use the old flower shop there as your studio. You got a window there and I'll look out and describe everything that's going on. That'd be a lot of fun.
Hey, stop it. And on the remote, we don't have an 8-second delay.
Yes.
No, we don't. Wow. Gotta be really careful.
We don't have an 8-second delay. Well,
what we'll have to do is we'll have to get some school marm to stand next to us with an air horn.
Did I mention that Dennis Watson in here tonight? Would you like to know the reason Dennis Watson?
Anyway. Never mind. Don't even go into there.
There's just something he couldn't face.
School marm. Did you say Judy? Jimmy's cracking up back here.
You were going to ask a question, Jimmy?
No.
I didn't think so.
You weren't going to ask him what he couldn't face?
No.
No. Don't want to know.
Oh.
For those of you who are fans of The Sound of Music, play that one over and over again.
Oh, Dennis can face just about
anything. And usually do it with a straight face at that.
Well, relatively.
Yeah, well, a little crooked smile, but yeah. Hey.
Okay. We got to get the hatch folks
in. It's the Houston area. Yeah. You have to chew before you breathe.
Yeah, I know. thank you very much, Mr. Stephen.
Always a pleasure, Jimmy.
If you can't do it with a kilt, you do it with your mouth.
Yep. Chuckles the Clown is dead.
Okay. Thank you, Colt, for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Chris, please do something.
Killing your mics for first.
That's
And to music, we can bring in the Hatchlings.
And that was
Sugar Beach.
Sugar Beach with I Like Girls.
Ew.
Right?
Ew, I don't like girls. I might have showed the sign to the
Well,
camera.
There's a few Hatch members here tonight that I think might like a girl or two or more. Anyway, and I wanted to also mention the music we opened the show with because it's by new artists.
Pick this one because it got an angel on the front?
No, aww. I picked that one because he sent it to me. John Michael Pollard or John Raymond Pollard.
Raymond.
Yes. And we played Recidivism. Huskow.
Yeah.
And the other one is...
Larry Block.
Yeah.
Get Up and Dance.
Get Up and Dance, yes.
We had another new CD that came in today.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, we're getting a lot of new music. That's cool. So we get to play new stuff. Anyway, also, the Call 45s has the AIDS Trouble Fund. Who's here? Come talk about it. You talk about this. You're still here.
Okay. The AIDS Trouble Fund provides rent and utility assistance for people who are living with what we refer to generally as full-blown AIDS. And you can download an application at our website at www.cult45s.org, or you can call us at 713-526-6077, and we'll mail an application out to you. Cool. And we're here to try and help.
Wonderful. Thanks, Dan. Dan from the Cult 45s. We've kind of forgot to do that.
Yeah, we got a little sidetracked.
Yeah, sort of.
having too much fun. It is past time for Hatch.
All the queers have taken over the radio.
Have you not been listening for the past 40 minutes? We've already taken over, hon.
In case you've been clueless. This is Hatch. We have about six lovely people from Hatch. Well, five and one guest, my lover. We could go around the table and start with introductions. I don't want to go first. I'll go first. Okay. I'm Aja. I am co-president of the steering committee of Hatch, and we have my lovely, lovely girlfriend here.
Tia.
Alex.
Hi, I'm Joshua.
I'm Joel.
Kevin.
And Josh is the other co-president of the steering committee.
That's right.
And, we hatchlings, you know, we always love having new people at Hatch. Hatch is a nice, safe place for youth between the ages of 13 to 20. If you need to talk or you just want to have friends and everything, call and get screened. The number is 713-529-3590. We are friendly and open and welcome. And if you ever have any problems, maybe you don't want to share at Hatch, you can call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston at 713-529-3211. And tonight, this lovely, lovely evening, morning, whatever you want to call it, we will be discussing religion. Now, we've already done our introductions. I think we should go around the table again and say our names again and our religious affiliation, I guess you could say.
Also, our sexual orientation.
Yes.
Yes. I guess I'll start. I'm Josh. Let's see. I'm gay. Like, no, it's a big secret. And I'm also Christian. So, yeah.
I'm Aja. I'm a lesbian. And I'm an apathetic agnostic.
I'm Tia. Christian and lesbian.
Very lesbian.
I'm Octavio. I'm gay.
And?
And a Christian.
I'm Kevin. I'm gay and I'm agnostic.
I'm Joe. I'm gay and I'm atheist.
And, this evening we're going to talk about, I guess, how we identify as far as our religious beliefs has sort of affected us and shaped us as human beings, and also how it has shaped us as being homosexuals and with coming out, and I guess also other ways we sort of live our lifestyles, or our lives, excuse me, lives. Who would like to share first? Octavio.
I was raised Christian. My parents were always very good to me. I think that religion in general, Christianity, really helped me when I was going through a lot of tough times. I'm not your typical Christian, obviously. I disagree with the way a lot of Christians think. I think the stereotypical Christian typically is not the best person to follow. I've noticed that some of the oddballs at my church were actually the coolest ones I ever met. A lot of them knew more about the Bible than the ones that said that they did. Christianity is a big part of my life. I'm not currently going to a church right now, but I'm looking.
Aja, and I'm an apathetic agnostic. I was raised very Roman Catholic, and when I was about, I guess, maybe 13 or so, I I started just really questioning everything I believed in, and I believed it simply because my mom said to me, oh, well, this is real. I was put in a Catholic school, and they said, well, this is real, and there was never any question about it. And I was in public school, and when it wasn't, I guess religion wasn't being spoon-fed to me, I just really thought, okay, why do I believe this? And I started venturing out into other beliefs, going to different churches, and just doing my own readings. And I simply thought, well, you know, none of this makes any sense. It makes no sense to me. And even if it is true, it's not something I want to believe in or something I want to follow. And I became sort of agnostic. You know, I acknowledge there's a possibility that there could be a higher power, but I simply don't believe there is, and I could care less, which is where the apathy comes in. And that's what I've believed for a good while now.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where did the apathy come from, do you think? I'm wondering if it's rooted in your identification as a lesbian.
I don't think so. I'm not sure where it sort of came. I just, people with religion or having faith or lack of, it totally defines who they are. And me, it's just how I paint my fingernails. It's just, it is what it is, you know?
But you see, that's the thing. It's a leap of faith. I mean, any religion can be torn down. There's you can not, even science can't explain some of the things that are going on in this world. Science can't give you all the answers, neither can religion. Almost anything can be torn down. You have to believe in something.
Honestly, I don't feel that you have to. I feel that I don't mean to offend anyone, but and it's just the way I feel and what I believe. I believe that religion started as a way to make people sort of feel better about the world and how messed up the world. I think we can all agree the world can be a pretty horrible place. I think someone possibly made it up to make themselves feel better or to explain what cannot be explained by science or logic or reasoning. And, you know, it can make you feel better. But for me, I am a hardcore realist, and I simply don't believe.
Well, hang on. I lost my train of thought.
Choo-choo. Sorry. Get back on.
Yeah. Sorry. The thing is, I guess I said that wrong. You don't have to believe. You know, it's your choice. But, you know, there's no proof that Christianity, you know, wasn't created by God, that it's not true.
But there's no proof that it was.
There's no proof to support anything, not technically even science. I mean,
exactly.
So then religion tends to give people hope, you know, Christianity especially. A lot of people have turned their lives around from it.
Exactly. And I think for those who want it or need it, I'm glad it's there for them, but that's not something I need or want.
Well, that's fine, but what you said was you believe that it was just started to make people feel better. What I'm challenging, what I'm saying is that there's no proof of that. There's no proof to, you know, there's no evidence saying that people just created it just to make themselves feel better. Well, you know, it was created divinely.
Possibly, but again, no proof.
Well, let's get back on to topic.
Yes, other people and their beliefs.
I'm Josh. Let's see. I've been many things. I've been Baptist. I've been evangelical. And I've also been, right now I have a tendency to lean more towards the United Church of Christ, the one that are all accepting of everybody. But at the same time, I believe no matter what religion you are, your religion should work for you right now. Don't wait for your religion just to work for you in the afterlife. Don't wait. It should work for you right now while you're living. You shouldn't just be waiting for something to happen and for you to be happy in your afterlife when you're in kind of total mayday kind of situation where you're just like, I had to stick this out and it'll all be perfect when I get to heaven. Your religion should work for you, not the other way around. So yeah, does anybody else want to like?
I'm Kevin, and I was raised Southern Baptist.
Fire and brimstone.
And I remember being taught a lot that, you know, a lot of things were wrong and that you're going to hell for a lot of things. And I guess that's what made me start questioning a lot of things. I am agnostic. Although I've thought about many different religions or things like that. Like I thought about atheism and Christianity and all types of stuff. And I mean, I believe that there can be a higher power, but overall, I mean, I have yet to see that there is. So that's just where I'm at.
Same here.
But you see, a lot of people misinterpret what the Bible says. They immediately say that, you know, if you do such and such, you're going to hell. The only thing that the Bible really says is that if you don't accept Christ's gift, that he is the Savior of the world, then you're going to hell.
Well, yeah, and I know it does say that, and yes, it is a lot about interpretation, and but it created a lot of conflicts in my life. I mean, Southern Baptist, not all, but a lot of them have kind of radical, if I should say that, beliefs of
Tanner Byrne kind of stuff.
Yeah, like you're going to hell for being gay and things like that, and you know, I've ran across a lot of that, so.
Well, I'm sorry that you've run into a lot of that, because I've dealt with that too myself, and it kind of sucks. But a lot of people that say that they know what they're talking about, they really don't. They're angry, and they're using that to make them feel better.
Well, I think the most important thing to remember for those who do have faith is that God is not a book, God is not the church, God is not a building, God is not, you know, your church members, you know. And I think the one thing is, I used to be, when I was a believer, you know, I read the entire Bible, you know what I mean? And there's so many contradictions. And I think the one thing we have to remember is the Bible was written by other people. And you can believe that they were inspired by God, but the thing is, the Bible was not written by God. The day God comes down to you and, you know, tells you something, that's, you know, the end-all, be-all, but until that day, I mean, and the Bible has been changed throughout so many years. King James, the King James Version of the Bible, he put in what he wanted to so he could have his way. He put in this and that because this is what he believed. And so, it's okay to have faith. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I think the one thing to remember is a lot of, I guess, the structure of religions are what those people feel, certain people feel.
And I guess that's where the leap of faith comes in. You do the same thing with science, you know? I mean, the whole Big Bang Theory, there's no real way to prove that. It's you believing that happened. It's the same thing with religion. Yes, many things have been altered, but you have to believe that that's the truth. You come to a point where you're just kind of like, all right, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, who's it going to hurt?
Well, except, you know, there's empirical evidence that we can look to find out that, yes, that there are reasons to believe that this is how the universe was created, or that this particular chemical reaction happens when you put these two things together. There is measurable ways that you can say, this happens, this doesn't happen. This could happen this way if these particular things fall into place. So there's a certain way to measure, to view, and gather empirical information to say this does or does not happen in science. And in religion, you just don't have that. So there is a big difference. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Christian religion says that faith is, you have to have faith. And faith means you just blindly believe. You believe because you're told to believe.
Not
so I think there's a difference there.
Not entirely blindly, because many people can take the word of the Bible and use it to send a wrong message to people. You're not supposed to follow blindly. You're supposed to follow in faith. And when you accept Jesus into your heart, he hit the Holy Spirit, supposedly, if you believe in God, is supposed to inhabit you and direct you to do the right thing. And a lot of things in science, the chances of some of the things happening, like the Big Bang, it's like a million to one. It's huge. I mean, like, really, really small, you know, chance of that happening, all those particles coming together perfectly for that. Yes, science can tell you mathematically such and such can happen, but when you really look at it, it's kind of like, you know.
Well, I think With certain things like that, like the Big Bang Theory, not too many people these days really believe that. It's a possibility, but, you know, that was sort of in the 90s, and I think these days scientists have pretty much moved on past the whole Big Bang Theory. And I think, you know, it may seem far-fetched, but who are we to say that it's not possible? Like, you believe that a carpenter that supposedly walked the earth 2,000 years ago turned water into wine and healed the dead, and I am in no way trying to offend you, but to others such as myself, that seems very far-fetched. So who are we to say that particles from outer space created the entire solar system? I don't believe that, but you never know. And I think we should get to the two other... Well, the one other hatchling and my special guest.
Before you go into that, I have to step in and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Back to you.
Okay, so we have another member I think we need to introduce.
Joelle.
Hi, my name's Joelle. I'm atheist. I do not believe in religion whatsoever. It's fake to me. And that's my thought.
And how has that shaped you as a person? You as a gay guy?
Well, to me, like, religion, I've been, like, people have been talking to me about it. They like to try to convince me, you know, that this and this and that. And, you know, I don't know, I mean, I just don't think it's real. Like, until I see this God of any religion they're talking about, I will believe in it. That's pretty much how I go.
But what about Scientology? Ever thought about...
Well, the one good thing about science, though, is that it does... it can't prove everything, but when it does prove it... I mean, it's usually fact. I mean, everything isn't fact. A lot of things based on theory, but when they actually do prove something, it's there, unlike religion, where it's more of a belief basis. So, yeah. I think that's what he was trying to point out earlier. What's your name?
Brendan.
What Brendan was trying to point out earlier. Because, I mean, science is more hard evidence versus just faith alone. So...
Yeah, like I was saying, when it's proven to me, I'll believe it. Somehow, whatever is going to be proven.
And we have my special guest, Tia, and she has lots to say on this subject.
Christianity. I'm a Christian. I was raised in the church and everything. I've had my share of struggles and things like that with it and being gay and just what the church has to say, or majority of the church, I'd say, not all of the church, has to say with the idea of being Christian and what it means to be gay, and their views on it being a sin or you're going to hell. And one of the things for me personally and what my faith is and what I've had to believe is I had to realize that I'm not believing in people and I'm not believing in this, you know, these people that are leading me. I'm believing in this relationship with God and my belief and faith in Jesus, and that's between me and Him and not who I am and that He created me how I am. So that's how I see it and how Christianity has been in my life.
I want to ask a question. For those of you who are looking for churches right now that may not have one, how important is it that a church be gay, lesbian, bisexual friendly?
For me, it's not necessarily a big thing. It's just as far it's big in the fact that they are accepting or willing to allow you to be a member and not condemn you and stuff like that. So for me, it's very important. Also, just with me being a lesbian, I don't always fit in or feel that I fit in the normal church or the normal stereotypes of what a woman should be. So for me, it was very important to find a gay-friendly church.
I went to whatever church I thought was a good church. gay or not, and I've been to quite a few. And granted, gay-friendly churches, you know, are typically more accepting, but you know, there are some churches that don't advertise being gay-friendly, yet they are not against homosexuality at all, and they have no problem with gay people going to their church.
Quite a few out there.
Yeah.
You just have to look. But, I found it interesting, dear. You are not extreme butch, but you're not super femme either. But, I find it interesting, and I think we're talking so much about Christianity here. Let's talk about, you know, other religions, you know, I guess more pagan type religions, and there's Buddhism, which is more about, you know, your inner peace and not about having to fellowship or to read dozens of scriptures and everything. What I find interesting is that you talk about having a relationship with Jesus, having a relationship with him, and he is your savior. And I know, as a former Christian, you refer to God as, you know, Father God, and it seems pretty patriarchal. And I think, you know, with Christianity, you know, you believe that God is a spirit, and God is an ultimate being, and he's not limited to a body, he has no human limitations, and yet you call him he, even though he is a spirit, he has no body, he has no sex, he has no gender.
I thought we were going to start talking about other religions.
I know, but that was on my mind, and I just wanted to
put
that one out there.
To clear that up, it specifically states in the Bible that he, it calls him the Father, implying male.
But he has no body, no sex, no
gender. He is, according to the Bible, the creator of the universe. Calls him the Father. But,
why can't he be
a mother?
Because it says in the Bible that he's a father.
Well,
I'm guessing it's more because at the time the Bible was written, it's more male oriented. Still today, it's still more male oriented. That's why I think at the same time, father, you could loosely translate it to mother. I would just basically. God, to me, it's just a guardian. It's not a mother, it's not a father, kind of an intersex figure that loves us all. Because how can you have a mother who's vengeful and spiteful and then have a father that's all loving, and it shows the best of both sexes. And so I guess it's kind of intersex.
There is much talk in Revelations about the earth being referred to as the mother.
Interesting. I'd still rather not follow those chauvinist patriarchal obsessed. Before I go into a feminist rant. Yes.
Also, the thing is I lost my train of thought there.
Choo choo.
Hold on, let me go back up. I'll get it.
Chugga 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 chugga.
Okay, I'll pick up for you.
Oh, and also the Bible has been translated. You also have to keep that in mind. So, who's to say that the translator wasn't a little off? It may have, you know, said father instead of mother. Maybe they're similar in the language that it was translated from. I think it's all based on, you know, what you want to believe. I mean, some may believe it as a father, some may believe it's, you know, intersect, as Josh was saying, and I mean, I guess it all depends.
Interesting.
I just want to throw that in there.
So, it's a shame we don't have a Buddhist here or a pagan to...
Well, let's talk about other religions for a minute.
Okay.
What is your idea on other religions besides Christianity?
Well, you know, why me? you know, I have a lot of respect for other religions. They are much more open and accepting. I feel that they're more sort of open-minded. I guess growing up the way I did, it's just anything sort of different is very fascinating to me. I feel that, you know, Buddhism is, if there could be one religion that is, I think, more, I don't want to say correct, but more I don't know.
That you lean towards more?
Or appealing?
Yes. No, one that I guess can sort of sustain. I'm not sure what to call it, but I think Buddhism is really great. It's not about bowing down to some higher power. It's not about subservience. It's more of enlightenment of the self, you know?
I can agree with you there, but I'm sure you'll find some homosexual-hating Buddhists out there. Granted, there are a few of them, I'm sure, but I'm more than sure that you might find a few, just like you might find, you know, some hating Christians.
It's not about hating on others, in my opinion. You know, that's one thing. When I wasn't a Christian, I didn't desire fellowship, so I never felt the pressures to be like the other churchgoers. So, I mean, it's not about other Buddhist or other people of other religions. It's, I guess, more about the self, I guess.
Well, the bad thing that I found is that it seemed to me that a lot of Christians were less, how should I put it? Most Christians that I ran across that either found out I was gay or whatever were very against it and were telling me how I'm going to hell and how I'm such a horrible person. And I don't think that, I mean, if you're really wanting to try to show that you're a good person, I don't see why you would go around advocating that basically your God hates people just because they're different than some others. I mean, because, of course, homosexuality isn't the the biggest...
The end-all be-all.
Right. Well, so. I am sorry that happened to you.
Oh, yeah.
But you should tell those people that, you know, there are many more sins than just being gay. According to the Bible, everyone's born with sin in them. And for as many people that you find that pretend to know the Bible, you will find just as many that really do and are just as accepting as those people are completely against you for the way that you are.
See, I mean, I've been pretty blessed in the fact that I haven't met a lot of... I haven't run into that as much, but I do know that it exists. And that's sad to say, and I think it's just... It's been a trend throughout Christianity that instead of it just being the faith that it should be, I think a lot of people look at it as, okay, it's been a way that has allowed people to hold others down. And that's why I said when I have made the comments, like, you know, when I did come out and I was starting to come out, I didn't meet that much of it, but I did meet some of it. And that's when I had to make that decision. It's like, okay, if what I believe, is it about these people or do they really have anything to do with my faith? And they don't. You know, my faith is between myself and it's not with them. I mean, I go to church with them, but that doesn't mean that's why I like to have a church that is accepting and is that, you know, teaches the word, but allows you to be who you are. And I do agree. I that's one thing I don't understand with a lot of the church as far as the Christians is how they can be so unwilling to
hypocritical.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah. To answer that, you know, there are many people that just are ignorant. You'll find that with every religion, not just Christianity. I guarantee you that.
I would like to share a story.
Okay.
I will leave the church's name out of it, but it was a Chinese Baptist church that a friend of mine took me to. And they had, like, some sort of, like...
Is it off West Ham?
No.
Okay.
They had, like, some big, let's all be Christians and sit around the campfire weekend and read the Bible and share scripture. And it was actually very lovely. And they had, like, these two... They weren't, like, pastors, but I guess they were, like, big honcho brother and sister in the church or whatever. And this one woman, she was like, anyone that wants to talk and pray together, come see me. So I did. And I shared with her about that I was a lesbian and that how I felt that, you know, it's like, I'm not sure how I feel about that and being a Christian. And she should have given me support saying, you're not evil, God loves you. But instead she got that, you know, I could tell it. I could see it from you right when I first saw you, and that, you know, the sin is out there. You just have to fight it. And I was really hurt. I was like 15 years old, and this 40-year-old housewife was telling me this crap. It was really crap. And she told me that that I should stay away from the media and TV and not watch Ellen because she...
I love Ellen DeGeneres.
She flaunted her sexuality and that she didn't watch television and or read certain magazines because she had the hots for older Christian men like pastors and everything, and that's why she would stay away from the media and all that. And she was telling me that I was sinful when she was the one who wanted to cheat on her husband with another guy, and how she felt all these desires and everything, and how she prayed to God and all that. And I thought it had nothing, it was nothing related, in my opinion. But the thing is, you can have faith without fellowshipping, because seriously, I don't think God, you know, quotation, is something different for everyone. And so, even though maybe in the Bible it does say fellowship, it's not a necessity, I feel, to believe what you believe, to share it with others.
Actually, in the Bible, it suggests that you go and you meet other Christians, that you can share stories and help each other out. And talk about that lady. Tell me more about that story, please.
We were sitting in the church and we were speaking, and I was telling her that, you know, I can't exactly remember what all I said or what was said, but basically, I told her I was a lesbian, and she told me that I should pray and get the sin out of me or something like that. And she shared of how she wanted to sleep with other men, older religious men.
What about Taoism?
Taoism.
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 It's Taoism. Be like, but Taoism, basically, Taoism is a religion where, I did a report about it in ninth grade. I'm like, yeah, I know that. I'm not a scholar on Taoism. Taoism is basically, have you ever seen the symbol for yin and yang?
Yeah.
That's what their symbol is. Basically, they view everything as, everything has a good, everything has an evil, everything counterbalances everything. And so basically, in the end, it kind of makes sense that, yeah, I was just about to say that karma. Basically, it all balances out, and in the end, everybody gets what they deserve. So it's kind of that situation. So in the end, it doesn't matter what religion you are. It just matters that you're a person, that you're on this planet for a reason. It doesn't matter what religion you practice, you're a person at the end of the day. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, black, white, Chinese. Be like, it really doesn't matter. You're a person, and we should treat people like we want to be treated.
Exactly, the golden rule, we learned it in kindergarten. And, you know, you don't have to be a good person or do good things simply because your religion says, or, you know, you're afraid, oh, I'm going to go to hell if I don't give the homeless man my last nickel. You know, you should do good things because it's nice and it makes you feel good and it makes you a good person.
Where did the golden rule originate?
The Bible.
I think it was Gandhi, actually.
Really?
Gandhi?
People think yeah, that came from the Bible. Do unto others as...
No,
I was taught
I always
that.
Wondered that. I never knew where it came from.
I'm not sure, but look it up when you get home, but I think it actually was Gandhi.
Cool. I'm all about Gandhi. Gandhi rocks.
Yes.
So, but yeah, that's the whole thing we're all about, is, you know, just be good to yourself and to each other.
Yes, I think the thing is we shouldn't beat ourselves up about our religion. If your religion doesn't work for you, then go to another religion. If it doesn't, if none of those religions work for you, if those religions don't work for you, basically believe in yourself. And no matter what, I believe that in yourself you will find something that is deserving of love and attention or of anything that you are willing to give to yourself. Apparently, it was in the Bible. Do unto others as they do unto you.
Matthew 7:12. Thank you, caller.
Exactly.
Just looked it up on the computer. Oh, excellent.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay, somebody calls, but yeah.
Thank you, non-caller.
Like, for all those people who knew that, but
no, but yeah. So and don't let your religion define you. If you do seek to find one, and know that if that is religion is not for you, then that is okay too. And if you have any issues, if you know you're having big issues that you feel you can't talk to your clergy or whoever about, you can always call MCC, Montrose Counseling Center, 713-529-0037.
I want to share a story with you guys. It's actually one of a hatchling that used to be on the show several years ago. His name was Tom. I can say his name because he was on the show and he shared the story with us. He was very involved with his church and he was an officer in the regional organization, very well thought of, and he was up and coming in his church with his membership. And he came out as being gay. Let the people know. About the time this was happening, his father died. So, and there was some issues with him and his father, and it was a little messy. But during this time, when his father died, the church found out he was gay. The church officially excommunicated him publicly.
Wow.
Because he was gay. And he actually considered suicide. He considered killing himself. And about that time, he had heard something about Hatch and thought he would try it out, you know, just see what happened. It was interesting because he was afraid that it was somehow the devil was influencing him about Hatch, trying to lead him further astray. And he came to Hatch, found out who we were about, and then he began to reconcile his feelings about his religion. And I'm happy to say he's actually in college now. He got a Hatch PFAC scholarship, I believe the $10,000 level. And he is now, I don't know what you would call it. He's studying religious studies right now to become a leader in, I don't know what religion, Episcopal perhaps, I'm not sure. But anyway, he's studying to go into that, and he's rediscovered his spirituality and his connection to the Christian religion. And I just think it's a great story.
Go Tommy.
But, all right, I have a question. What are some of the rules about Buddhism? And, you know, there are other religions out there besides Christianity. And I think we're kind of focusing on one particular one. What are some of the other religions out there?
Judaism.
Once again.
Hinduism.
Because all of Judaism is contrived basically of the Old Testament. Yeah. So,
And some new information...
Yes.
Is Islam?
Yeah.
Scientology.
There's tons of religions.
We can get on Scientology.
Oh my God! I watched the video on that. I don't want to.
Like, no, we cannot. We can.
No offense to anyone that believes in Scientology, but I've seen some very bad things about that.
Well, no, I don't understand anything about it. What is it?
I believe it's actually a Christian religion, I believe. If I'm not
no.
Wrong.
No. No.
I'm not 100% sure. I haven't studied on it at all. So.
I know. We know a little bit about it. Basically,
if there are any callers out there that do know,
please call us in. The religion is about is about, if I remember right, it's about that we, that I'm trying to remember it correctly because I don't want to offend anybody, but this is what I heard what it was about. If you want to go first, Aja, you
go ahead.
Basically,
and if you're wrong, please call and correct. If
yes,
we're wrong, please
yes,
call
if
and correct.
Yes, if we're
tell
wrong,
us.
Call in and correct me. But I heard that it was wrong. It was about how basically a other beings came to our Earth, and while we were while basically humans were evolving, basically they use our bodies and basically through our bodies it's basically kind of like our soul in an aspect. And so that's what I heard about it, but I don't know too much. Can't expand.
Yeah.
I can't be like, well, this is what happened, and yes.
That's just about it. I also heard that I guess you could say other beings are eventually coming to get us and take us back to
yes.
the home planet.
Yes, yes. I heard that too. Yes.
And that there are spirits that attach themselves to us that causes our problems.
Yes.
And that part of
whoa.
The process of Scientology is having those alien spirits or influences taken off of your soul so that you no longer have those issues any longer. And the Church of Scientology is based on the writings of L. Ron Hubbard, who lived, I don't know, he died several decades ago, but I believe most of his writings were in the 50s, 60s. So that's considered to be the sacred text of Scientology, are these science fiction novels or stories that L. Ron Hubbard wrote.
Again, the basis of a religion on what a man wrote and not what God wrote. Just putting it out there.
and there's also oh, many like smaller religions and forgotten religions and things like that. I mean, one of them that kind of like screamed out in my mind was like Druidism. Was a I think at one point it was a major religion a long
yes, it
time
was.
Ago, and it's basically the belief that nature is pretty much, I believe, everything, that nature is essentially, they had gods and goddesses and things like that. So, I mean, there's many, many religions. I mean, go to Wikipedia and,
yes.
you know, there's like hundreds and probably thousands.
The Romans, when the Romans took over the British Isles, they killed all the Druids.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is before the birth of Christ, the Druids were...
Any other religions?
I know a little bit about Hinduism. Some people say that Hinduism, it's not a monotheistic.
Monotheistic.
I can't pronounce it correctly, but monotheistic. But at the same time, it is kind of monotheistic because you have this one god and
Shiva.
Then she. I was like, I thought that's who it was, but I didn't want to be like. Let me just give out some random name. And
it's Shiva.
Yeah, Shiva. Basically how this one god, and then you have all these other gods. But at the same time, all these other gods are versions of this one god. So it's kind of like, how could be say one thing and be say that they're another thing? It's just... just gets me kind of loopy at the same time, so yeah.
It's all, you know, it's all good. But there's also Sikhism, which is another religion practiced in India, and I guess you could say East Asia, Southern Asia, Central Asia, whatever you want to call it. Sikhism, it's kind of like Hinduism. I know there's this, like, one guy who's kind of like a Moses, in a way, and... I hate to put it that way, but I can't really word it, articulate it any other way. And it's kind of monotheistic too, and it's along the same lines as Hinduism. But they sort of have men that are like warriors and protectors, and I'm not really sure how to go about it. But there are so many religions in the Asian cultures, so you could just look them all up, and it's really amazing. And just I guess I think we should all get out of our Western, you know, mindset and
yes, exactly.
check out bubbles. Other things. Exactly. So, and I think a lot of African religions are really, you know, they're all about worshiping the earth, and it's really beautiful.
So, I mean, yeah, because as I was saying earlier, there's so many religions. I one day I did do a, I think it was like a Wikipedia thing where I went online and did Google and for all the different religions, and I remember there being this humongous list of just all different types of beliefs and things like that. So, I mean, there's tons. So,
and I mean, a lot of them are basically all sort of have the same beliefs: be a good person, do the right thing, and worship this one big being, or you worship many powerful beings, or worship the earth from which you came.
Yes, yes.
Which I think is a beautiful thing, or you know, improvement of the self through again worshiping one big being. Or you know, but I think you know, I think loving and taking care of yourself is I think the most important thing, and loving other human beings and respecting each other. And I think that's what most of them are all about, and I think it's sort of the main thing, you know. So, anyone else like some input? Anyone else?
I don't have anything.
Octavio?
So. I'm good.
How much time do we have left? So I guess we'll be wrapping it up soon. Anyone like to give any shout-outs or any last-minute things you'd like to say?
Does anybody want to share a story? Or
yes.
About
religion and about your gayness?
Yes, yes. Go ahead. Be like what, we'll do one story each. Try to make it 5 minutes. Okay.
I was in my car. I have the flu, so I'm like, don't shield yourself. But I'm on my way to the store, and y'all ask questions about religion, and I forgot my phone at home, because I'm kind of loopy right now. And there's Native American practices.
Yes,
yes.
Yes.
And Wicca is considered a religion, and it's not anything with Satan. It's it's nature magic.
Yeah.
Basically relating to the earth. So you're kinder to the earth. And then I personally am a card-carrying Buddhist. And Buddhism a lot of times is viewed as very negative. A lot of people think it is, but it's actually about loving kindness, trying to be as kind as you can. And the Golden Rule, the formulation of the Golden Rule is in the Bible, but the concept is much, much older. It's been around for a long, long time. A lot of Eastern religions have that whole idea of treat people the way you want to be treated. And in Buddhism, there's a thing that... the more you try to make yourself happy, the more miserable you're going to be, and the more you try to make other people happy, the happier you're going to be, but not in a slavish way. Especially Tibetan Buddhism is really fascinating. It's all about finding out how your mind works. It's not theistic. There's no God. There's no beginning, no end. And that's not even the important questions in Buddhism. It's just basically how does my mind work, and how does... how can I find out more about that? Anyway, there's a wonderful woman named Pema Chodron, PemaChodron, and Chogyam Trungpa, and they're both available in any bookstore in Houston, practically, except maybe Christians, of course. So, anyway, but I just wanted to pop in, and I'm on my way to the drugstore, but I wanted to pop in and sort of, since you asked questions, there's a little bit of answer. So, y'all have fun. Y'all are sounding really great. Good night.
Thank you.
So do you want to start about your experience?
I'll go right ahead. As I've said before, you know, I've said a little bit about that. A lot of people that call themselves Christians have been kind of negative toward me being gay, and that was especially in middle school for me. I came out in my last year of middle school, and basically, I didn't really come out. It was more of someone outed me. So, everybody was kind of after me at that point. Everybody was like, you're going to hell. This is bad. People didn't want to hang around me because supposedly it's, you know,
I want to rape them or something. It's just, you know, I probably
the gay is contagious.
Yeah, I mean, just it's really stupid stuff, and I found that a lot. I mean, 90% of the people I knew were like that. So, you know, it was very a sad thing to see. And that's my story.
Anyone else with a story? Tia?
Oh, a story.
Do you want to go, Asha?
Oh, you know I always have something to say.
Well, go ahead and get your two cents in.
I sort of threw grapevine, my godmother and my aunt found out that I was a lesbian and that I was no longer a Christian or Catholic. And so they took me to a restaurant, they sat me down, and after tiptoeing around the subject for a good 20 minutes, we finally got to it. And I told them, you know, that I was a non-believer, and they said, well, are you a Satan worshiper? And I said, no, oh my God, why would you think that? And they say, well, you don't believe in God, so what are you supposed to think? And I say, no, I don't. And they say, well, you know, this Wicca, this witchcraft, it's demonic. It's satanic and it's demonic. And I say, I don't do Wicca either, but I do not believe that it's demonic. And it's one of those things you find with people. If, you know, you tell them that you're a lesbian, they, what did they say to me? They said, you need to see the movie, Boys Don't Cry, about Brandon Tina, Tina Brandon. I'm like, I'm not a trans man. And they said, you need to see the movie Monster. We'll watch it with you to edit out some parts. But, you know, and they just thought, oh, I want to be a lesbian. I'm going to have this horrible life. I like all girls. And if I don't believe in Jesus, then I must be a Satan worshiper. And I didn't find the support I think I'd find with them. And you'll find that with some family members, you know, that I guess they thought, since I'm not a Christian anymore, that she's not my godmother and I don't love her anymore. And it wasn't the case. But, I'm not a believer, but I'm not some horrible person. I firmly think I live my life better than some so-called Christians, one-a-day Christians, holy rolling on a Sunday, but sinning throughout the rest of the week Christians. I'm a nice person. I go to church with my girlfriend because she likes me there, and I try to be nice to everyone because I'm so sweet and sensitive and I cry all the time. But, you know, you find love and support, and it doesn't have to be with a religion. You can just find it with being a good human being in a way. You can say I'm sort of a humanist in a roundabout way. You know, I just want to love people and my friends and my Josh.
Aww.
I love you, Josh.
I love you, Aja. Like, yeah. I always have the sad stories. I'm always the one to be like, oh my God, that's so sad.
Bleeding heart.
I'm bleeding heart. It's just the way I am. In my family, I'm the only semi-religious one. The rest are like, we're Christian. We're automatically going to heaven. We don't have to do anything. We're just Christian. We're just automatically going to heaven. And I'm like, you know you have to go to church, right? They're like, no, we don't. And so I'm the one that goes to church on Sunday. And it just caused me a lot of hassle with my family. And when I told them that I was gay, they were like, oh, okay, you're going to heaven, let's walk away. It's very, like, they have a very good opinion of Christianity, and like, oh, we're all going to heaven, okay, let's just walk away. They're like, as long as you believe Jesus is your savior, let's just walk away. And so I went to a Baptist church for the longest time. And it was all throughout my teenage years. And I found out that I was gay. At the time, I wouldn't tell anybody. It was like, but if you saw my baptized pictures, it's like, oh my God, you could tell that queer from any, from like a mile away. Believe me, it was not a pretty sight. I have to show pictures. I'll bring them. But yeah, that's not the point. And so basically, when I told my first person that I was gay, basically it spread throughout the whole congregation, and I could hear them talking about me. Like, every time I walk into a room, it just automatically go dead silent, and then everyone would look at me, and you can tell that it's not a good look. Like, oh, look at him. It's like, oh my God.
Heathen.
Yes, it's like, yes, exactly. That's what everybody's thinking. And so, so one day, there was this girl that I went to school with, and she was like, do you want to go to church with me? I was like, okay, we'll go to church. And so, about the following week, throughout the school, everybody knew I was gay, and she didn't know. She's like, she didn't know. And so she was like, and then when she told people that she went to church with me, she was like, everybody was like, you know he's gay, right? They would gossip. And so basically she wasn't a very good friend. So we were talking.
Obviously.
We were talking. And so she's like, I heard that you were gay. And she did it in a very low hush tone, and she looked around like it's a secret cult. And
it's a dirty word.
And so she leaned close to me, and she's like, well, St. Peter had his own problems, and he struggled all throughout his life to become the righteous person that he eventually became.
Oh,
and she, it was some saint. I can't remember. I think it was St. Peter. It was either St. Peter or St. John. I don't keep up with the saints. I'm not Catholic. It's like, how many saints you gotta have? I'm like, you don't need any saints. You just need to believe in one thing or another, not a whole bunch of people.
They were all friends of Dorothy.
I know. But that's... I have a good story about that. But that's not the point. So basically, she set me down, and she was all like... She's like... We can change you. She's like, we can... I was in my mind when she said, we can change you. I was thinking, yes, we can change you. We can build you stronger. We can... But at the same time, it's like...
Kind of like in the movie Saved, where they try to exercise.
Yes, 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 yes. If you haven't seen the movie Saved, it's hilarious. And you should see it. And she ran over... Jesus. Let's just leave it at that.
She was filled with Christ's love.
Yes, let's just leave it at that.
That is not a weapon.
And if you have seen the movie, you know what we're talking about. And so, basically, the girl, we kept on talking. I'm like, why am I going... And I was like, why aren't... I'm just like you. I'm a human. Why can't I be appreciated for who I am? And so she's like, I know you're a human, but we all have our sins. And just your sin is sleeping with other men. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's sit back. I'm like, I don't go around sleeping with men. I'm like, just because I lust after them doesn't mean that I'm going to go sleep with them. There's a total difference between that and also love between another man and another man, and love between a man as a friend kind of man, yeah.
Yes, Josh.
And father, son, all that kind of shit. Shipley's. That's what it's called. Yeah, Shipley's. Okay. Hey, I know. I shouldn't have done
I
that.
I like donuts.
I know Shipley's are the shiznit.
Let's wrap it up.
I know. I'm trying to wrap it up. And so in the end, she was like, she's like, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, I'm like, I believe in Jesus. And she's like, well, you're going to go to hell if you don't. And I was like, at the same time, I'm like, well, what stops you from going to hell, Miss Miss Hefni. Yes, that's who, what I'll call her, Hefni. Which sounds like something with an S.
Josh.
And, yeah. Yes. Focus. Okay. Yeah, I get distracted sometimes, but yeah. So, it... Yes, sometimes. Sometimes.
Josh.
Like, okay. Yes, so I... What you should do, if somebody's like, you're going to hell, just in your mind...
I'll see you there and your mama, too.
No.
Feel the love.
You take it in because it is a criticism, but you don't take it in to your heart and to your core. You just brush it off, and then you just walk away. Because that's just what their opinion is. It doesn't make you any less human. It doesn't make you any less of a person. Because no matter what, you are loved for some reason or another.
And remember that 1 in 10 are gay. So if you got like 30 people in your congregation, 3 of them are gay. Okay?
It's not
or
one.
Or could be.
I'm not going to get into that. So...
That's
we're wrapping it up. And one more thing. If you're struggling with your faith, you may look for some outside information. And there's a lovely book that my dear T is suggesting. Openly Gay, Openly Christian. We're not sure who the author is, but just Google it. And Over the Wall by Tom Allen and many, many more. So just go search and ye shall find, seek and ye shall find, give a man a fish or teach him how to fish, whatever you want to call it.
Also, real quick, y'all probably already know this, but we were talking about gay-friendly churches. If you're wanting to find those, I found them just through Google before. So if you're really looking for a church and that is gay-friendly, I would suggest that. So.
United Church of Christ, we're very open.
Like,
but yeah, you can mention that. You can say that. Be like,
Community Gospel Church as well.
Yeah.
On Lillian.
Okay, now, let's wrap it up. And
this
actually,
has been Aja.
If you
Tia.
Look in the Rainbow
Octavia.
Pages or the Gay and Lesbian Yellow Pages, there's a whole list of affirming gay groups. For every religion.
Okay.
And you want to tell folks how to get in touch with Hatch folks?
Yes, we do. If you want to call Hatch, the number is
713-529-3590.
Perfect, Aja.
Thank you, Josh.
Why, thank you, Aja. Well, let's wrap it up, and...
To all of our groovy listeners, this has been Aja.
Tia.
Tavio.
Joshua.
And Kevin.
Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
Adios.
Adios.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Scissor Sisters with Filthy Gorgeous.
Ah.
Which, it's my all-time favorite Scissor Sister song. Mm-hmm. And I like a lot of Scissor Sister.
Ah.
Believe me.
I bet you would.
We are sitting here at 2:51 in the a.m. with Gigi Wilbur, Gigi Raven Wilbur.
Yes.
And you are now, well, we talked about this a couple of months ago, that you're now a published author.
Yeah.
But there's an article about you now in the new Outsmart.
Yeah.
Is that the one with Ephraim on the front?
No, it's the one with Kate.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's even the newer one. That's why I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's February.
Okay, okay, yeah. I've been out of town. Give me a break.
Oh, I know how it goes.
Yeah.
But
so you got to talk with Tim Brookover?
Yeah. Well, actually, we did most of it email, back and forth. We talked some on the phone.
Okay.
But, yeah, I did this article about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the essay that was published on being intersex.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, I've been to the bar scene in big ways and been to the gay bars, the trans bars, and all around. And basically, you know, I just see this kind of unhealthy aspect of how we view gender as either or, one mm-hmm. or the other, male only, female only.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, when we start looking at gender as a spectrum, that none of us are absolute male or female, that we are all a combination, which is really closer to truth, then we get a healthier perspective on gender and on sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And in the article, I even talk a little bit about, in the ancient days, how gender, you know, there's more than two genders. There's third gender, the Burdash, in mm-hmm. American Indian traditions. And many other cultures had different names for them, but often they were the medicine men, the healers, the
Shaman,
the people that kind of walked both sides,
mm-hmm.
In gender and sexuality, and in being able to kind of bridge between male and female.
Which is, and I think that part came first,
yeah.
Which made them become shamans,
mm-hmm.
or allowed them to attain that position, which was highly regarded.
Yeah, and then
because they had the male and femaleness,
right? And in Native American traditions, it was often thought, and also other cultures, it was often thought if a person could transverse between male and female, mm-hmm. it prepared them to be able to walk both in the material world and in this realm of the spirit.
Yes.
It gave them the insights, the abilities, and the some of the things that you can't put your finger on, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. But it was mostly male to female rather than female to male.
Well, some of them were hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
Born with a little bit of both. In fact, there was a movie I saw back way long ago about, and it was based on what was left of a wall from ancient Rome.
Mm.
And it was a story about this hermaphrodite and this boy that went seeking out this hermaphrodite because he was having problems getting erections with girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but the end of the story was missing because the wall had been partially destroyed.
Gotcha.
But a good part of the story was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so fascinated with that movie because, you know, the main spiritual healer in the whole movie was this hermaphrodite.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, I'd never come across something like that back then. That, and that just kind of opened this doorway for me. That all of a sudden, I realized, well, not everything is black and white, male or female, and such forth. And, you know, I started investigating my own life and some of the things that... Oh, it's right here.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Drop the glass.
Yeah.
And I realized that, you know, I was brought up... They tried to make me be male. It was kind of beaten into me and...
Literally.
And one of the things I realized was that, well, these things I felt growing up as a little kid weren't so off base. It was just kept a secret.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I realized a whole new world opened up from that, just seeing that one movie. And all of a sudden I started researching and learning more about ancient cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started learning about our culture in the North American Intersex Society.
Yeah.
And then I learned of other intersex groups all over the world and realized that even North American Intersex Society is still kind of, well, we don't want you to do the surgeries when they're infants. Let them decide which they want to be. But still... The decision has to be one or the other.
Oh.
And so, and I'm on a...
So list. Being both is not an option.
Nah.
Oh.
And so, you know, as I learn more, it just kind of, something in me just said, this is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to be more out about this. Because for long years, for many years, I was kind of, once I learned I was intersex, I didn't tell many people.
Yeah.
I wasn't very out about it.
Well, the intersex, even the term hasn't been around that long.
No. And I prefer hermaphrodite.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know that's a term that people
it's
understand.
Politically incorrect.
Yeah, but it's a term that people understand.
But it's also a term that has a lot of reclaiming for me,
mm-hmm.
because it was the hermaphrodites that truly were seen as very special beings,
yeah.
and had a place and role in society, in ancient society.
Mm-hmm.
And in our culture, we've eradicated intersex.
Yes.
We've completely wiped it out, cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm.
homogenized it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's, and so...
Either boys or girls, and that's it.
Yeah.
And straight and nothing else.
Yeah. But when you grow up, you know, even early on, I remember the first time I came across the word androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, that's what I am. I'm androgynous. And then later I found the word hermaphrodite, and I go, oh, that must be what I really am. But this was all kept secret.
I know how
secret.
That feels, yes. When I was 15, I heard the word homosexual for the first mm-hmm. time. And I thought, oh my God, yes. Now I know what I am.
And, well, when I first heard the word homosexual, I'd already sucked dick.
Well, me too.
And done anal play and all mm-hmm. kinds of things with other boys and with girls. And I thought... Well, that's kind of it, but not quite. Then I heard the word bisexual. And then I heard the word pansexual. But one thing, I didn't bring it out in this article
yes.
in Outsmart, but one of the things that intersex or hermaphrodites do is they throw the whole sexual orientation categorization out the window.
How so?
Well, if I'm... Neither male nor female, but both male and female.
Mm.
How can I be attracted to the same gender or the opposite? There isn't a same or an opposite.
Well,
and if it's really true that, and I mean, all people have some mixing of the gender.
Yeah.
Due to hormones, due to all kinds of things that go on. I mean, Gender's a very complex thing.
As we define gender.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you look out in the world and you see bitch women and effeminate men,
yeah,
and you see,
yeah,
the spectrum.
We do. Yeah.
Just male or female.
It's just our society says males are this way and do these things, and females are this way and do those things.
Yeah.
And our society tries to separate them.
Yeah. And I think that's partly why the word homosexual didn't come around till a little over 100 years ago. Back before then, we weren't so binary in gender.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know, gender wasn't seen as just black and white.
No. And that's why it's so hard for 20th and 21st century peoples to understand Greek and Roman times.
And that's also why, you know, in the Bible, there's nothing about homosexuality.
No, because
it wasn't a big deal. Well, it wasn't just that it wasn't a big deal. It was that it didn't exist.
Homosexuality did not exist.
Yeah.
Really?
Homosexual behaviors occurred.
Oh, yes.
Rampantly.
Yes.
But homosexual or bisexual or lesbian,
there was no real definition there.
No.
No.
There was no conception of
this. No.
Right. It's in modern society that we put everything in nice, neat little boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come along and throw away the boxes. And I think that's a big part of it.
Not that there weren't homosexuals.
Yeah.
All throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there wasn't the definition for it.
Right.
And
It wasn't conceived of as, like,
it wasn't conceived
there was
of
no
as an orientation.
Conception of a homosexual act.
Right.
You grew up, you had sex with men, you had sex with women, and
yeah.
In ancient Greece, the norm was a young man slept with his teacher.
Sure.
Male teacher.
Yeah, it did.
And then when he came to marrying age, he got married.
He got married, and as long as you
had kids.
Do what you want on the side.
And then
with
as
other
he got
women
older, he became a teacher and
other guys
had
or,
sex with
yeah.
little boys, you know.
Yeah.
And so there was no conception that, oh, this is a homosexual act. That was normal behavior for an expected behavior. Now, they did have certain roles, like a young man couldn't be the top, the older man couldn't be a bottom.
Yeah, right.
It was just kind of looked at, frowned on.
That was frowned on, yeah.
But
for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, although you know what happened.
Of course, that was in ancient Greek society. Other societies were very different. But there's just this more openness to sexuality. And one of the things I do bring up in the article is this concept of sex-positive environments and sex-positive behaviors.
Yeah.
Looking at the world, you know, we live in such a sex-negative culture where sex is equal sin, yet we're flaunted with sexuality, but if we do it, it's sinful.
Yeah.
So we get this mixed message. We're bombarded with this sexuality and then told we can't do it, bad, bad, bad. In a sex-positive environment, sex is seen as sacred, seen as healthy, seen as good, not as something evil or bad.
Exactly.
And so when we start looking at a sex-positive environment, all forms of sexuality between consenting adults is looked at as normal, healthy, vibrant, even celebrated.
Yeah.
And it's in our culture that we've kind of stepped so far away from that concept. The ancients, in many societies, within certain rules and boundaries, kind of lived that way. And so I think all this comes back to this equation of, you know, binary gender. When you have a binary system, it's easier to have one better than the other. One's good, one's bad. One's stronger, one's weaker.
Yeah.
When you put it on a spectrum, all that's blown away.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it becomes, well, how do you put, is there grades of better and worse? So you get more of an equality. And I think that's one of the central things to a sex-positive environment, is that there is equality between all genders.
Yeah.
One's not better than the other. One of the things I saw, you know, I remember going to a bi conference years ago in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out one night to the trans bar, transsexual bars.
Mm-hmm.
And someone came up to me and pulled me aside and said, you're standing with the wrong group.
What?
I said, what? He said, yeah, you're standing with the ones that pass. You need to be with the ones that don't pass.
Ooh.
And I said, well, I'm not trying to pass as anything or not pass as anything. I'm passing for what I am. I'm not transsexual. But I saw the viciousness of that.
That is vicious.
Yeah.
And it's...
And the destruction of it.
Yeah.
And...
It's been a problem in the transgender community because those who can pass...
Mm-hmm.
So many times want to forget about or make a new life without the transgender word.
Right.
And like you said, the binary thing.
Yeah.
Those that pass are better than those who can't pass. So.
And you get that.
Yeah.
You know, inequality going. If we live in a... with the definition of gender as a spectrum, all of a sudden everybody passes.
Yes, and it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You are the gender you are.
Yeah. Because even in heterosexual relationships, there are areas where the wife is stronger than the man, and she will take care of those things that she is strong in.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that's always bothered me about the label heterosexual and homosexual.
Yes. And I use
kind
them
of this,
just so people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we have to use language. But one of the things that's always bothered me about the definition is that there's kind of this implication that if you're heterosexual, you're attracted to all people of the opposite sex. If you're...
Oh, my.
If you're... I mean, the implication's kind of there.
Yes.
That any
and
opposite
that's not
sex...
It at all.
Or if you're homosexual, you're attracted to all people of the same sex.
And if you're bisexual, you're
attracted
to
anything
that walks.
Yeah.
Anything that walks up on two legs.
But think about it. Are you really attracted to every male?
Absolutely not.
You know?
No.
And so this kind of binary thinking kind of works against us both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's destructive. Because all of a sudden we have this kind of ideal that nobody can live up to. And everybody falls short.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, once again, I'm kind of putting this argument again, you know, for this concept of looking at the world as not a binary gender system, but a binary spectrum.
Yeah.
Seeing it much more healthy.
Yeah. Just like I've been talking about for years now, the older I get, the more I realize that sexual orientation is not fixed. It's not only is it on a graph from 1 to 6, but it is ever changing throughout one's life.
And that's what I love about Fritz Klein's sexual orientation grid.
Yes,
it looks at sexuality not as a single entity, but broken down on at least 7 scales.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think
it's a couple of steps further. Yeah, you're right.
And even that's not sufficient. I know that Lorraine Hutchins wrote an article where she actually identified 17 distinctly different genders in human beings.
Oh, my goodness.
And you start looking at transsexuality. You look at all the different intersex conditions. Mm-hmm. You look at, because sex is such a complex thing. It's partly based on hormones. It's partly based on, what's it called? Your DNA.
Yeah.
The genes. And even during human development, if a hormone isn't in place and received by the cells at the exact right time, you don't get it later.
You don't get it later, and it changes, makes you different, and
mm-hmm.
makes you who you are.
And so you think about how many things can go wrong in this kind of, well, not really wrong.
Wrong, but different.
But different,
yeah.
In this gender building block,
yeah,
picture.
Because to make us all the same, everything has to happen at the exact precise time.
Right.
And it just doesn't work.
And the other thing that I bring up often is that, you know, we all start out basically in the primary gender of female.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not until many, many things come into play mm-hmm. that the gender is differentiated into male or female or into the spectrum.
Oh, yeah. Your baby really does have an outie.
Well, one of the things I came across that I found really disturbing, and I later learned from some of my female friends that this happened to them, they were born with clitorises that were a little too big and they got a little snip done.
Ooh.
Where it was snipped back down to size.
Ooh.
And part of the problem is if it's left, the clitoris gets erect and it would stick out.
Yeah.
And so if it's a couple of inches long.
Parents get upset over that.
Oh, yeah. Well, parents, doctors,
yeah.
Society. You name it, you know, girls aren't supposed to get erections.
The hell they don't.
Oh, they do, but not visible ones.
Oh, brother.
And, you know, this is a totally needless surgery. It can cause nerve damage.
Sure.
Cause all kinds of complications.
Because the clitoris is the only organ on the human body that mm-hmm. is designed solely for pleasure.
Yeah.
And solely for pleasure. Mm-hmm. Has no other function.
And other than, well, the first third of the vagina is really all that feels much feeling mm-hmm. until you get all the way to the uterus.
Yeah.
Or the cervix. And
if you're lucky enough to get that far.
And it's only with very jarring sex that you can really get much feeling out of the uterus mm-hmm. and the cervix. And some women, that if you bump against it, it's way too...
It's too sensitive and it hurts.
It hurts.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of...
We're going off on tangents here.
I know. Well, this is actually right on subject because...
Okay.
In a sense, we all have different bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Females, males.
You know, I've been around a long time and I've seen a lot of dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never seen two exactly the same.
Exactly.
Every one is different.
Uh-huh.
In some way or form.
And part of that gets back to this whole concept of gender spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we start seeing the world as it truly is, not as we want to make believe it is.
Yeah.
And you think about it, rarely do you have anything in nature that comes into and only two and that discreetly different.
Yeah.
Most of nature is a spectrum. And so I think by kind of taking a look at gender as a spectrum, we can kind of come more to terms to healthier sexuality
mm-hmm.
and healthier sexual expression between people.
Yeah.
one of the concepts I'm putting together in this book is that I'm been working on is this concept of, I borrowed from Maslow the terms
from the hierarchy.
Yeah, well, he has the term self-actualization.
Yes.
Well, I borrowed his terminology and changed it a little.
Okay.
And came up with this concept of sexual actualization.
Okay.
And becoming more, I mean, we are so ignorant in our culture. When you start studying Eastern and other cultures, all of a sudden you realize, wow, we're living in the dark ages.
Yeah.
You start looking at Taoist techniques and the Kama Sutra and Tantra and all, I mean, for thousands and thousands of years, Chinese and Indian culture has really mapped out a lot with human sexuality. And we, you know, we're so in the dark. I mean, in our civilization...
Oh, of course we are, because we...
Well, sex equals sin.
Yeah, you get the Kama Sutra book, and people over here are like, oh, what a nasty book.
Yeah.
There's nothing nasty about it. We're talking about sexual satisfaction, and it's...
And, you know...
There's nothing better for your mental health than sexual satisfaction.
Exactly. But one of the things I realized studying some of these things is that how ignorant we are. You know, and I brought it up on this show many times, you know, males can have full body orgasms, they can have multiple orgasms, females can have ejaculatory orgasms. But you have to retrain yourself and learn some of the techniques to be able to achieve this. It's through culturation, and men tend to, in our culture, are trained to focus everything between the legs.
Absolutely.
Whereas women are very skilled at circulating sex energy throughout the entire body. When you start...
Or can be.
Or can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those that... haven't been...
Some women, unfortunately, are kind of pushed...
If religion hasn't
to this point of
their style, so to speak.
Becoming, I think, closer to being asexual.
Yeah.
Not wanting sex at all.
And that's so sad.
Yeah. But I think part of it is, once again, getting... And this is something I kind of hope to challenge the GLBT communities about, is creating sex-positive environments where we hang out in the bars, where we hang out with each other in our GLBT space, creating a sex-positive environment and incorporating sex-positive behaviors and learning new sexual techniques and educating each one another. Because there's so much that I've learned through study, you know, and I've been studying Tantra and all this stuff for since my mid-20s.
Yeah.
We start learning these techniques and sharing them within the community, and then we can, and I think that's why I like the term sexual actualization. We can become sexually actualized.
What does it mean to be sexually actualized?
It's becoming in tune with your whole body. Your whole body's a sexual entity.
Okay.
It's not just...
Just not the genitals.
It's not just the genitals. There's also different forms of sexuality. It's not just the all in out.
Yeah.
It's not just... It's getting familiar with the chakras and the energy channels within the body, and realigning them so that that sex energy can flow all the way through. I've had orgasms that sent me into out-of-body experiences. The energy just started at the root chakra and went all the way up to the crown chakra, and I was above myself watching myself. It's just amazing.
I have
the
not made it that far yet, no. But just one little technique I've learned over the years.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this with a lot of men, that when they ejaculate, they don't make a sound.
Ah. You haven't heard me ejaculate.
And, you know, I read somewhere once that it really intensifies your orgasm if you can vocalize.
Oh, yeah.
During your ejaculation. And that the first couple of times it's going to feel forced, mm-hmm. but after that,
there's
Katie, bar the door. And I learned that technique, so I can and because I learned that,
mm-hmm.
and my orgasms were just so much more intense.
Yeah,
I can believe you mm-hmm. when you talk about full body orgasms and out of body orgasms and things like that. I can see where yeah. it can go to that in that direction.
I've had extended orgasms that have lasted hours.
I haven't even no, I can't say that. I can not even close.
But part of it's I've been training my body
yeah.
and learning and trying different techniques.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I brought the stuff tonight, but I decided to wait till next month.
Oh, okay.
When we have a more rowdy crowd.
What did you bring?
Well, not rowdy, but people. Well, we had to.
Did you bring toys?
No, I was going to do the masturbation.
Oh, okay.
Thing, but two of the boys that wanted to participate in that aren't here tonight.
Oh, so. Okay. Who are they?
I forget. Names,
okay.
But,
okay.
But both of them seemed to have a real interest. They were in the studio last month
uh-huh.
when I was did the penis show.
Yes.
And they were just in awe about everything. So I think they would I wanted to save it till they're
okay.
here.
Okay. Good.
But when I do this next time, I'm thinking about also bringing a massage table in
mm-hmm.
and showing how to do erotic massage.
Oh, that would be good.
Even bringing in some of the techniques for men to have a
okay.
full body orgasm and a multiple orgasm.
Okay.
And an extended orgasm.
Boy, you're going to put me to work there, because I have to explain what you're doing for the radio audience.
Well, I'm going to be bringing someone in that's a licensed masseuse.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be helping out with
okay.
this. And so I'll be demonstrating some of the techniques
mm-hmm.
and going step by step. But part of it, too, is that in our culture, we tend to separate sex from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is regaining this heart-to-crotch connection.
Yes.
And heart-to-heart.
Mm-hmm.
So much of sex in our culture is this kind of sex, just raw sex. Nothing wrong with it.
No,
I've enjoyed
no, no, no.
it a lot.
I enjoyed that, too, but there's
but
so many other kinds of sex.
There's so many other kinds of we just aren't educated
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
And once we start learning some of these techniques, this whole concept of gender spectrum and this concept of sex positive behaviors falls right in place with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, sex isn't sin. Sex is a celebration
sure.
of the goddess or God or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've said it on the show.
You can call God a him as long as you spell H-Y-M.
But, and I've said it on the show before, where when sex becomes a sin, all of a sudden, we're all villains.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sinners. But if sex is a gift of the goddess or God,
then we're celebrating in the spirituality.
And I've also brought up the fact, you know, this concept that in ancient times, the Greeks believed that ambrosia was the food of the gods.
Uh-huh.
When humans ate it, they reached this high state of ecstasy. Well, what does sex do? brings
oh
us.
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
And if you kind of take a look at these concepts and break them down a little bit, if ecstasy truly is a deity, part of being a deity,
mm-hmm.
then isn't that what we should be striving for?
I think so. I do.
And so, your homework is have lots of sex.
Please. Have lots of sex with people you want to have it with
mm-hmm.
and who want to have it with you.
Yes.
Be it one or many.
Mm-hmm.
Either singly or at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And I know you didn't get a chance to read the entire article, but
no,
I think
didn't.
Tim did a great job.
Good.
I mean, I sent him a lot of material.
Okay, so why don't you outline about the book and, you know, like the name of it? We didn't even talk about the name of it or anything.
Well, the book that
I'm going to check with
in is called Transforming Feminisms, Transfeminist Voices Speak Out. And it's published by the Sumac Press. It's a Canadian feminist publisher. Has 30 essays, edited by Krista Scott Dixon, and it reflects the complex intersections of transsexualism and feminisms. The book features pieces by renowned North American and European activists and scholars in this field. The book I'm looking at writing, and the title I hope it will have once I get it, if and when I get it published, is, I always forget it right off the top of my head, it's Human Sexuality, A Non-Dualist Perspective. Yeah, Human Sexuality and Sacred Sex, A Non-Dualist Perspective. And in the book, I'm going to be exploring some of the myths and taboos that kind of block us at a sexual level in our culture and provide ways to overcome some of these myths and taboos and learn how to break them within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
To gain freedom and to really open the door to fully experience, we have to be able to overcome some of the boundaries that we've been culturated to set for ourselves. And so many of these boundaries are things like, you know, what is sex? It's like, I've heard some people say that, well, sex isn't really sex if it's just oral sex. You can do that, but
I know. And so many, especially men, and especially straight men, mm-hmm. feel that way.
Or
yes, if it's oral, it isn't real sex.
Another biggie in our culture is what I call the Prince Charming Complex.
Yeah.
You wait all your life to meet Prince Charming, to fall madly in love and live happily ever after.
And it doesn't happen.
And it either doesn't happen, or when it does happen, nobody can live up to that ideal, and so it breaks apart after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or you grow up and you realize, oh, okay.
Okay, that doesn't happen.
It's such a destructive myth, but it's
whether
so
you're
prevalent.
Whether you're waiting for that knight in shining armor, or whether you are that knight in shining armor,
you can't live up to that.
No,
and so, but it blocks so many people from experiencing today.
Yes,
I've got to save it for Prince Charming.
Nah.
Or I can't really fully let it go.
Yes, you can.
And
yes, you
and so
can,
that's
and you
the
should,
myth.
And you should.
That's the myth. One of the myths that holds us back sexually. There's so many others.
I've just never been held back then because...
Oh, I haven't either, but... But we got the benefit of the 70s.
Oh, God, I embraced the 70s. Yes, I did. But I was always that way, you know, yeah. When it came to sex. I just... For some reason, I guess I'm just lucky in many ways, but, you know, when all of the sex-negative stuff was coming down during the teenage years,
yeah.
I just thought, well, that doesn't apply to me, because I've had sex, and it's really great, and mm-hmm. I'm just not going to listen to this crap.
So, I think that's where I was kind of blessed. I had sex before I knew what it was.
Yeah.
And when I learned that this is supposed to be bad, I went,
hell
wrong.
No, it's great.
Wrong. And so I was, you know, I was seducing babysitters at 5.
I'm telling you, a lot of men could have gone to jail because I was seducing older men in my early and middle and even late teenage years.
Mm-hmm. But one of the other things I kind of talked about,
mm-hmm.
and this is something that still concerns me. He asked what organizations I've been involved with.
Oh, so many.
And Radical Fairies came up.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that kind of saddens me is it's in such a downswing right now. I mean, even though I'm...
Well, and that's going to happen with the Radical Fairies because this is an organization...
Over and over.
...that has no organization by design.
Yeah.
Once you start organizing, they rebel. You know, so it's really hard to keep the group going.
Well, I think that's only part of it. I think also the other part of it is that there's when the Radical Fairies started,
mm-hmm.
it was radical.
Yes.
And now
it's not so radical.
More the times have changed and the people have changed and mm-hmm. and so we have conservative fairies.
How can that be?
Conservative in the sense of...
What, they're not going to get naked in the woods?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Modest fairies.
Modest fairies, okay.
Or you want to... You know, I remember I did a workshop on male masturbation.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, it's... You can't wear clothes during this.
Well, duh.
And
how are you going to learn if you're...
And here's a group of radical fairies that say, what, I have to get naked to come to this?
What?
So I think you see my point, mm-hmm. is that, you know, back years ago, I was involved when Jeremy was in the Radical Fairies.
Yes.
And the times were different.
Yes.
Men were a little bit more radical in their approach to sexuality.
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking conservative in the sense of conservatism.
No.
But sexually,
like you said, modest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sexually, they're conservative mm-hmm. or modest.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's what I've been seeing in the gay community, is that it has become more modest.
Yeah.
And I think part of that may be due to AIDS. It may be due to
a whole number of factors. Of AIDS. Yeah,
but everything I do in my workshops, totally safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're talking masturbation.
Yeah,
hello. The only thing safer than that is nothing, and that's not what we're advocating here.
Mm-hmm. And you know, masturbation, whether you're doing it to yourself or
to somebody
doing
else.
A circle jerk,
yeah.
is safe sex.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Unless you've got bleeding wounds and get it in your hands.
Yeah.
and if you have any abrasions, wear gloves. You know?
Exactly.
But fear is not rational. Fear is fear.
Yeah.
It's irrational, and so there's this kind of irrational fear of AIDS that I think has brought in this kind of modesty in the gay community.
Why don't we take a little break here?
Okay.
And I'll play a little tune, and we'll be back and see how we're going to.
And before we take a break, we've been talking about the latest article in Outsmart magazine,
the February issue,
where they did an article on me.
On page.
Titled Beyond Two Genders, page 84.
Oh.
And I think it's so great of Outsmart to publish this.
Absolutely.
Because it's, you know, where do you find information about intersex or about, you know, most people don't go intersex. Is that something like metrosex or is that sex on the interstate?
Okay, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
I am so excited because this is brand new music from Bob Mould, called the CD is called District Line, and the cut was two. Number three.
No, two.
Two?
Who Needs to Dream?
Who Needs to Dream? Nice, nice music.
Yeah, it just came in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it a little bit before the show, and
Bob Mould is a gay artist, composer, singer, songwriter, musician, who has been around for 20 or so years in different groups, and his stuff is it's incredible. And he's had his own coming out experience in these last 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So he started out being very closeted, and now he's out and proud. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
really
he's on tour, and the closest he's getting to us is on March 20th. He'll be in Austin at a place called Antone's.
Ah, cool. Yeah, I knew that. I got an email from his publicist and asking if I would like some of his music, and I said, "Hell yeah! I've been playing Bob Mould for as long as the show's been on the air." You know, not a lot because it's he does not write music that it's going to make the top 40.
Mm-hmm.
But he writes interesting music with deep lyrics.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
No, it's really like that. I mean, I love the Moody Blues. Mm-hmm. And one of the Moody's Blues is gay.
Yes.
And
before that, we had the Monica James Band with Hold On. And that's from their CD, There You Are.
Yeah.
Monica James Band, this is a transgender group, isn't it?
Hi?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. James, J-A-Y-M-E-S. Monica with a K. Okay, we're with Gigi.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the article in the February issue of Outsmart.
Yeah.
And it's promoting your essay in a new book.
Yeah, it's Transforming Feminisms.
Trans/forming. Right?
Yeah, right. Trans Feminist Voices Speak Out.
Yeah.
And it's... You know, I've read through some of the articles, and there's some really good ones in there. Because there are so many issues.
Absolutely.
That kind of blend between the transsexual and the feminist movements.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I wrote in the article is, you know, another thing I'd like to see is many of the alternative communities forming more bridges.
You know... Yes, every time I hear about a gay man who is against transgender inclusion, I just want to scream. Because if you take the word transgender,
mm-hmm.
now what does that mean? That means across gender. That means going outside of the definitions of gender.
Mm-hmm.
And as gay men, we have been doing that all of our lives.
But I'd like to see us go even a step further than that. Bring together pagans.
Yeah.
Transsexuals. Mm. Women's movements. A lot of these bisexual movement.
Yeah.
The intersex movement. The art movement.
Yeah.
Burning Man.
Yeah.
All these different alternative communities
could only help them, and
mm-hmm.
you know,
and help ourselves.
Yeah, and the bi community could certainly use the help.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like I've been on the outside looking in on the bi group, and you know, cheering them on,
mm-hmm.
and it just, you know, they keep trying and keep trying, and it just they can't get politicized.
Yeah.
Cannot do it.
Yeah. Well, part of it is, you know, and I've given this a lot of thought, but part of it is because bisexuality is so invisible.
Absolutely.
You know,
two
people walking down the street, depending on perceived gender, they're either gay or straight.
Yep.
You know,
you never look at a couple and say, oh, they're bi.
Yeah.
it just never occurs to you to even think that way.
Actually, I did it one year. I went to the corner of Westheimer and Montrose
yeah.
during the Pride Parade,
mm-hmm.
and had a three-way kiss with my girlfriend and my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, you can't mistake that. That's visible. And I mean, we did a deep three-way tongue and mouth kiss, which was kind of interesting logistically.
I see. Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of see myself now being a prostitute priestess and being kind of a sex pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
Is really being a pioneer in a whole new area.
Absolutely.
You know, I get a lot of flack from it. I have all my life, you know. Because I'm so outside the box.
And I'll tell you that I have, over the years, I've received a lot of flack, too,
mm-hmm.
for having a bi or a sex radical segment on.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you want to, you know, have those folks on? I mean, they're not part of our community. You know, oh, God, I have to educate somebody else.
but that's, you know, I see the history of so many progressive movements. And once one group gains a little bit of power, they shut the door behind them.
Yes.
And
it drives me crazy. Just drives me crazy. Why can't you throw a rope to everyone else?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have so many things. I'm a member of so many different alternative communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I've benefited from each one.
Sure.
And gotten different things from different communities. We have so much we could learn from each other.
I feel so much more well-rounded,
mm-hmm.
having learned about the bisexual community and the transgender community mm-hmm. and the lesbian community.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just not that gay man out there.
Yeah.
I really feel part of all of this community.
And that's how I feel, you know, being part of the... And, you know, we tend to overlook certain communities that have, throughout time, been very progressive,
mm-hmm.
like the artistic community.
Oh, yeah.
You know, look in some of the chapels and some of the things they were able to get away with the church.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
With nudity, with sex, with...
Yeah, these artists were really taking chances. And,
I forget the name of the artist. He did the Dante's Purgatory, Heaven and Hell, his paintings.
Yeah,
I know who you Purgatory,
mean.
They were screwing like bunnies.
Yes, yes.
And part of that was only males, and
that's right.
And one of the males was sticking a flower up another male's ass.
Yes, yes.
And it's just this gorgeous painting, and
I've got
the church had commissioned it.
Yes,
you know.
And to this day, it's a famous painting, and I just love it.
And you start thinking about some of the artists that have at least helped open this door for us throughout history, because without them, I think we would be living in an even more sexually repressed society.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much that we can learn and share and gain by building bridges between communities and getting over our petty differences.
Absolutely.
It's like, I've learned so much through studying ancient civilizations and histories and being part of the current day art community, all these different communities, and it's amazing, even in the women's movement, learning different issues, seeing different sides. It's just amazing what we can grow and learn from. I can't stress enough how much I would like to see this year us becoming more of a inclusive community in the GLBT. I'd like to see us share this dream and really embrace it, because it is empowering and it brings us all together. And so I think we're getting close to that time, aren't we?
Yes, it is getting close to top of the hour. We've got some PSAs coming your way, and the man is coming on.
And before he does, hopefully next month we'll be doing some radical education on sexuality.
Oh?
Hands on. So tune in, and hopefully we can get that going next month for the Sacred Sex segment.
Ooh, that does sound hot.
And I'm going to be teaching some tantric techniques, some Taoist techniques. So tune in if you want to learn how to really open the door to a whole new sexual experience.
Cool. So, thank you, Gigi, for being here. And I'm really glad about that article on Outsmart. Everybody go out and get the February copy. And Gigi's picture is there, by the way. So those of you who are incarcerated, I think if you are able to get the Outsmart, you can see a picture of Gigi.
And if you are one of the listeners who are outside of the area where you can pick up the Outsmart, it's outsmartmagazine.com. You should be able to download the article online, and they usually include pictures as well.
Wow.
Good.
Good deal.
Anyway, you've been listening to
After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Boy, this hot tea's working. My voice is coming back now. I spent too much time talking.
And baby, we have the attitude.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And if you're not sure about that, wait till next weekend when Louie's around.
Oh, my God, that's going to be crazy.
Yes.
I'm not even sure if I'm going to make it back here or not.
Because, Friday night, we're going to be at Mary's.
Naturally.
Naturally at 9:30 with the After Hour reception.
Oh, wow.
After Hours is doing a reception during Louie. First time ever.
I'll have
ever.
To do something special for that.
And G-Cam will be doing a reception on Thursday night at EJ's. So, wow.
You've got a chance to see Jimmy Thursday night at EJ's, Friday night at Mary's.
Uh-huh.
I'll be at Mary's Friday night. I'll be over at the Ripcord with reception on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will be there on Sunday for the show of shows.
Oh, yes. I will be there, too, because I'm doing the ICOH. I'll be in the ICOH one, which is going to be very interesting.
Trying to think what body part's next for y'all.
Think more about body function.
Oh,
anyway, coming up at the top of the hour is Broken Beats, and the man is in the house.
Mm-hmm. And now it's time for your PSAs.
KPFT's local station board is seeking listeners interested in being members of a dynamic body. The KPFT Program Council was founded in 2005 in an effort to give broader community input on programming. Members of the Program Council are chosen from a pool of listeners, programmers, and members of the local station board. The council works with KPFT's program director and general manager around a myriad of programming matters. If you would like to be considered for one of the four listener member seats on the Program Council, visit KPFT.org. Members are expected to be selected at the local station board's February 20th meeting. At kpft.org, you will find full information about the program council, what it does, and how you can be considered for a listener position. KPFT encourages members of our diverse listening audience to get involved in this radio station. So please consider becoming a member of our program council. KPFT Houston.
March 8th, the ACLU of Texas is celebrating 70 years in Texas. The ACLU of Texas began with the pecan sheller strike in San Antonio in the late 1930s. The pecan shellers, predominantly Latina, had their pay cut. In reaction, they went on strike. They were led by 24-year-old Emma Tanayuka. The strike resulted in violence and a call by San Antonio Congressman Maury Maverick Sr. for the founding of the Civil Liberties Union of Texas. The event will take place at the Hyatt Regency Riverwalk. The ACLU will host a day-long conference focusing on the future of Texas, how demographic changes in our state will impact our cherished rights and liberties into the future. Our kickoff speaker will be the nationally prominent sociologist Professor Steven Kleinberg from Rice University. Our keynote speaker will be Cecile Richards, president of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. At our anniversary gala, our speaker will be Anthony Romero, National Executive Director of the ACLU. For more information, visit ACLUTX.org.
KPFT, Houston. I am the voice of Pacifica Radio.
Ana Sot Radio Pacifica al KPFT 90.1 FM to Houston.
Unasikiza tisini nukta moja FM KPFT Houston.
Yawahe Pacifica Radio KPFT.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.